Water makes it all possible. It makes it all possible. This water has been here from close to the beginning, cycling as water to vapor to clouds to water, depending on where it landed, turning into ice, into tundra, into ice floes, into glaciers before calving, joining the sea again, and being lifted back into the skies. It's a metaphor for the cyclical nature of life. It is a metaphor for everything that causes life and makes life possible. It is one of these miracles that we take, as most of the real miracles, absolutely for granted. Theologians study all of the abstract miracles of God and creation, and that's fine because it employs theologians, and I'm all in favor of that, teaching theology from time to time. But the regular miracles, the everyday miracles, the truly astounding and improbable and wonderful miracle that is life, as far as we know it, and certainly for this planet, is based not simply on you carbon units out there, but on water. That's why people get excited if it looks like there are traces of water on the moon. People get excited if there might be water on Mars, because we know that with water, life as we know it is possible. Without water, there is dust. Dust that is blown about and that is barren. Nothing happens to it. When you add the dust to the water, you get mud. And almost every creation story starts with this mud. Starts with a molding, starts with an idea of what life is and what the miracle of life is, contains, I'm sorry, Unitarians, three elements: dust, water, and spirit, something that makes the dust into mud or clay and the clay into life. When you look at the stories from almost all of the scriptures of humanity, you see different versions of the same story. First of all, in the biblical story as we know it in the West, there's a nice clean creation story in Genesis 1 where God doesn't get God's hands dirty. But in Genesis 2, God picks up a handful of clay, and there's a pun that's involved here in Hebrew, and he forms Adam. The three letters, A, D, M, as I've mentioned before, do not stand as those people who believe in a biblical code believe, Arthur Daniel Midland's, but they stand, that's how you figure out who watches KCET, but they stand for all of the things that have to do with red, with earth, and with blood. Adam is man, generic, not male. It is red, it is clay, and it is blood. When the Muslims tell the story, the same three-letter radical, the ABM, gets translated as blood. And so God creates not simply out of the clay, but out of a clot of blood. What they have in common is this sense of the source of life being a potter, being someone who takes and molds and shapes existence, but that only gives you the mud. It is in the ensouling and the bringing it alive, in making it, words of New Testament, making it into living water, where it becomes alive, and that's extraordinary. Life is just extraordinary. Water is such an astounding and improbable miracle just in itself. It's nice and it's liquid here, but it can turn to vapor in enough heat and become invisible, like the breath. the breath where in the Genesis story and in the Quran story, the ensoulment, the coming alive of human beings take place, where something happens to animate the mud. Now, you don't need a mythology. You don't need a story. But I think we need a poetry to remind us from day to day of the improbable, miraculous nature of existence, that there is dust, of water, that there is mud, and of life, that there is something more. And we feel it, and we are it, and we experience it, and it is so very, very precious. As I stood last night at the wedding, under the chuppah, as the cantor was marrying our son, and got to look at him and remember him grow and see the joy and see the animation and see the hope, there was a prayer that was repeated, and she did an interesting translation of the prayer. It's called the Shehekiano, and it says, basically, praise to the source of life for creating us and sustaining us and bringing us to this wonderful occasion. And almost any occasion is a wonderful occasion when we are present to the miracle that we are. The great, in my view, philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein said, it is not how the world is that is the mystical. That's the job of science. Science studies how the world is, where things came from, where things are going, how the laws of physics work. He said, it is not how the world is, but that the world is. I see no competition between religion and science. They are different views of this same miracle. They are different languages and places that we stand to try to appreciate and understand and celebrate the miracle of when dust becomes mud and mud becomes life and life gets to stand up and just say, wow. It is pretty exciting stuff. Water is so amazing with all of its vastly different states that really are changed at what, in the cosmic scale of things, is a tiny degree of temperature variation. A temperature variation from 100 degrees centigrade at boiling, where you start to lose water into vapor, to 0 degrees centigrade is not huge on a cosmic scale. When I was driving my mother up to Northern California, we had a 40-degree temperature drop just going over the Altamont Pass. That's a tiny amount of change where you can go from liquid to vapor, from vapor to liquid to solid. And it is a metaphor, I think, for the fragility and the changeable nature of our own lives. We are just milliliters from being very different from who we are as individuals because of what flows within us. You mentioned a wrong medication. I cannot tell you the number of people, including my mother, who, because she was medicated incorrectly, not completely the doctor's fault, my mother is a bad historian in terms of how many pills she's taken and when and why. I think she got that from my brother's teen years, but that's another story. But she had dementia. She was hallucinating. She was paranoid, and it was too many water pills. We are in a delicate balance with our water, and we are mostly water. That's a little chastening to think about. What we are worth, you know, in those old days they used to take apart and talk about what human beings were worth for our mineral content. You take the water out, and you get a handful of sodium and calcium and another couple of elements, and we're freeze-dried, just add water, and off we'll spring again. I don't think so. We are mostly water. And what does that mean? Well, Tom Robbins, the serial comic novelist, said that life was a trick created by water in order to get it to move from place to place, to transport it around the world and around the universe. And that's what we're doing. We come from that ocean. Did you ever wonder why water seems to be so central in religious tradition? And it's an ambivalent symbol. God's going to trouble the waters, we sang. I wonder what we mean by that when we sing that. When we look again at the scriptures, you see all of these miracle stories. And they're miracle stories of being saved by water and being saved from water. Water goes both ways. The early Hebrews were desert people. They were not sailors. They didn't have yachts. These were not Greeks or Phoenicians. Jews did not become sailors till they got to Long Island and later Marina del Rey. There were desert people, having become a desert people. There were desert people, and the waters were a source of life. You can't find the water, you're dead. You're moving across the uncharted sands where you can't leave pillars and posts to mark your way. You have to navigate by the stars. You don't find that oasis, then there's not going to be another oasis in your future. You got to find the water. So water becomes a symbol of life, but also of chaos. You can't tame the sea. In a pre-biblical creation poem, God wrestles with the water for 5 days of creation. It is a symbol of the chaos. And it wasn't easy to tame, and it doesn't stay tamed. That's why in the Exodus story, you have Moses, or God through Moses, parting the Red Sea. Why didn't they build a bridge around it? Why didn't they walk around it? Maybe it was the Reed Sea. No. The story is about taming water. Because to tame water is for a moment to wrestle and win for a moment with chaos and with death. So the Hebrews are saved by those waters, and when the waters come back together again, from those waters in that story. Moses strikes a rock and brings forth water to save people in the desert. Jesus calms the water, reenacting the parting of the waters and the control over the forces of chaos and of death. Jesus does a little bit of marketing and says, so if Moses gives you water, I'm going to give you wine. That's marketing. It's okay. FTC wouldn't, well, probably today they would. Anyway, it's fine. But the point of it is that the water is the symbol of life and of death. When he says, I will make you fishers of men, saving you from a sea of sin, the metaphors are very clear. Water is at the heart of the symbolism of the three great Western monotheistic religions. It's almost, as that pre-biblical creation poem, a separate force. The Greeks called the ocean the mother of the gods. Genesis says, well, you know, there was this creation. You separated the light and the dark. And then you got the ocean, and life began in the water, in Genesis. They kind of nailed that one. And then came up out of the ocean and onto the dry land. That's fairly astounding poetry, science, understanding of what the order of things is. We carry all of the water of history in us and with us. we recapitulated in our lives. The seas, the salts of the sea, we can taste in our tears. The same percentage of salt as is normative in most oceans is in our bloodstream. We carry all of the water of history in us. We sweat it, blood, sweat, and tears recapitulate the oceans of creation. We carry it throughout all our history, and we represent runners in a relay race. Having taken this water out of the primordial sea, crawled up onto the dry land, having had it been a part of us, and then as we die and turn to dust, the water gone, the breath gone, the spirit gone, that water doesn't disappear. It goes into the earth, nourishing plants, into the sky. Is that your resurrection? Into the sky goes that water, that breath, perhaps even that spirit, to rain down again into our seas, onto our land, giving us nourishment and renewing the cycle. We carry all of that history with us. We also carry all of the history of the water that has been fouled, and the water that is not pure, and the toxic wastes and the chemicals. Those too abide in us and with us, and we pass that on again in our lives and with our lives. So maybe one of the great jobs of life for human beings is not to await salvation, but to save this common element that makes life possible. To notice the water and what it means to us. To notice that we are more than just dust and water, but we are blood and spirit and life, and have choices to make and actions to take to pass it on just a little bit better than what we found. Because that is what brings us together. We are individuals, but we share of the same substance. The same substance that was shared by all of the prophets of every religion, by all of the good people, of all of the bad people. We talk about the atoms of air that we breathe, but it's also in the water in our blood, and in our sweat, and in our tears, and in those salts, and in all of those things that we brought out of those primordial seas and changed, for the most part, at a great cost. And now is the time for human beings, as we are aware of our power and the fragility of nature, to see, to notice, to take seriously our responsibility to pass clear water to our precious children and to the future. To do a little bit to make it better. And we do that, I believe, starting by looking at what the miracle is. You don't have to be believers. All you have to be is actors, not in the pretend sense, but in the sense of acting in our world, because however we try to language it, we are an improbable miracle based on improbable circumstances and should be, from moment to moment, deeply grateful that we were created and sustained and brought to this moment where we have the opportunity of making such a difference to our world, to each other, and to our children.